Welcome to Voltpreneur Podcast Channel. My very special guest today is Joe Chichara. Tom, he reckons I'm going to butcher, so there you go. I've done it already.
Oh, my God. Welcome, Joe. Wait, say that again.
Chichara.
That's how I say it.
Right.
That's Chichara. And my daughter came home one day and said, we don't pronounce our name correctly.
Oh, is that right?
And she's right. It's Chichara.
Yeah, depends on where you put the emphasis, right?
Yeah, so, I just say Chichara.
So welcome to the show. So I'm just gonna quickly look at your bio, and then we're gonna dig into some questions, okay? So you're an entrepreneur with a CPA license, so you're an accountant and an entrepreneur together, presumably. It's kind of like what I had accounting qualifications. I think it helps to be an entrepreneur with an accountant background. So I think we've got some stuff to talk about. Worked with thousands of businesses across 35 years. And in 2010, after reading The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles and Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill, he got his answer. Success starts with mindset, a subject they don't teach at CPA school, for sure. And he learned that a true culprit on top of a very overlying complex system makes it nearly impossible to succeed in business. So your primary purpose is to teach fundamental principles of success. And today we're going to talk about a little bit about that. So welcome again to the show.
I'm sorry, I was waiting for more.
No.
You said so much about it. I was like, oh, wow, this guy sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, he does. I'm going to keep the rest for now.
I didn't put the whole story, which started in my parents' driveway.
Right.
When I was 10 years old, and I decided to have a casino night.
A casino.
And I made money. And I said, why do people have a job? So I'm an entrepreneur that just happens to have a CPA license.
Yep, something like that. Same principle. I mean, I did accounting when I was working for a bank, and they paid me to do it. So basically, because you do all this extra stuff, you get paid extra, and accounting made sense for banking. So, but it gave me a solid background on understanding financial reports and understanding how things work from a banking and accounting perspective. And I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs don't even get to experience.
I agree. And, you know, I shared with you before that I had an epiphany like a couple of days ago. It's amazing that, you know, the more I do this, it's almost like the less I realize I know.
Yeah, exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we specialize in helping small businesses get their books and records in order.
Mm.
Okay. And stay in compliance.
Digging deep to their business, right?
But it doesn't end there. If you have a profit, now what are you going to do with it?
Mm.
It's more about really finances, and people need to learn about their finances, their personal finances. If they're in business, that's great, and hopefully you're making a profit.
Mm.
But I've seen far too many people make profits, and then they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. All the profits are gone by the time you report. Because, I mean, the downside of accounting is it's ancient history, right? When you do that financial report and do the tax return, that could have been 2 years ago.
It is. It's history. It's historical data.
Mm.
It's like, okay, this is what happened. And one of the keys is to making sure that it's accurate. And the way that we do it is it's systematic. Mm. We have a bookkeeping procedure.
Yep.
So that our clients can know and understand their numbers when it comes to their business.
And in real time, obviously. So they're looking
at it. Oh, yeah, it has to be in real time. It can't be months later, because really, when it comes down to it, a business needs two things: revenue and cash flow.
Yep. Not necessarily the same thing. Yeah.
They're interrelated, but no, they're not the same thing. And people need to understand what the difference is, and they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what to ask. That's one of the keys that I've learned over the last couple of months, to be honest with you. that people don't know what they don't know. They don't know what to ask me. I know what they should be asking me, and I'm like, why aren't they asking me this? Because they just don't know.
And I think the biggest problem is that, you know, as an entrepreneur, I've been 30 years and an entrepreneur probably now. I probably have to check back the numbers, but roughly, let's say 30 years for a nice round number. And I don't think I would have survived that time without decent accounting and decent bookkeeping and decent cash flow tracking, because we've had ups and downs of all that scenario. And I think that's where most entrepreneurs don't do. They don't put that thing in place early on. So what they do is they think, I'll put that on later when I get bigger. I'll get an accountant, a bookkeeper, and I'll do that when I get bigger. But they never get bigger because they fail in that process, because the money just goes out the door and they never see it again. I think that fundamentally putting that thing in place to make sure that you've got that reporting system of some description, even as just how much money you got in the bank, right, and how much money you actually owe people so you don't spend it all, is probably a damn good start.
Listen, I'm an entrepreneur just like you. And, you know, and like I said, I happen to have a CPA license. Mm. So recently I said, you know what? I shouldn't be my own accountant.
Right.
Nobody should be their own accountant, including me.
Yeah.
So I took one of my team members and I said, you're going to be our CFO.
Yep.
I'm going to be your worst client.
Can't fire me.
Because I'm like, I'm out of control. I love to spend money. I have 8 credit cards. I have 3 bank accounts. I commingle stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I don't do what I tell my clients to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what we do. It's human nature. Right. So, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but the bottom line is, yeah, it is human nature. That's what it comes down to. And people don't realize that when they go into business, they're all emotional and they're like, oh, I'm gonna make money. And they forget the fiat, the money part of it, and the numbers. And I understand that they're afraid of it. It's confusing. It's like marketing is to me. Does that make sense?
Words. Yeah, it's the words.
So all I do is I try to educate people. I try to make it simple. Money for me is math. I take the emotion out of it. You need emotion to run a business.
Yes.
To start, would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Without emotion, you're a machine? Like, it's not going to work. It's going to work.
And all the people I meet have emotion. But they're just like me. I'm like, they're out of control with the money. And I'm like, okay, let me make this simple for you. Let me just take the bookkeeping, the mechanics. Let me take it and I'll show you what you should be asking me.
So the interesting thing there is what I do. Tell me what this is, the kind of thing that you're probably proponent, because what I did is in a former life is just implement accounting software. So I put in thousands of accounting systems. I don't know how many I've lost track, right? Thousands. And when I saw the mess that everybody was in every time, these big businesses and the mess they were in, the lack of control they had over their own business was crazy. So I vowed, declared I'd never be like that. But what I do basically is I suck all my bank details in. I use QuickBooks and I suck all the bank details in automatically, so they all land in my bank in the system, so it's all sitting there to be allocated. What I've worked out is that 80 to 90% of what you process is the same all the time. So
yes,
we put rules in place when the QuickBooks learns those transactions and says, okay, this is what you want to do. So then I just trained a staff member to actually come in and finish it off. And then I trained them how to do do bank recs, right? And eventually when it's all done, I'll look at it and then I give it to my accountant to finish it off and render the returns and do all the necessary stuff. But at the end of the day, that's done every week. And as soon as I had external people working on it, and they didn't do it properly or they were behind or something, then I'd get behind. And so I said, this has to be done every week. And so now I know exactly what's going on. And if someone, like example in Australia, for example, this is a crazy thing that happened in Australia. When the pandemic hit, the Australian government decided they were going to bring out this thing called JobKeeper. So what happens is they were paying the companies the money for the staff. So $1,500 a fortnight per staff member they were allowed to get. So if you kept them on, even if you weren't trading, you could get the money and you could pay your staff and keep them on, which is great. But then they said, look, you need to show that you've got a 30% drop in income. Now, I know that the vast majority of those businesses did not have even up-to-date financials to know where the hell they were, right? And so the hell they could even do it.
It's the same thing in the US.
The government seems to think you know how much money you've got at the end of the month and how much money we made within 2 days of the month, that you can do that. And that's, you know, I can do it. I can do it because I got a system in place, but I seriously doubt any good. I was hardly anybody. They're just lying.
Listen, I'm sorry for laughing.
Yeah.
It's worldwide. That's one of the things I realized. I said, we do bookkeeping. We count money. It doesn't matter what currency.
Yes.
So we can do this all over the world. And
it's material.
Yeah, I'm laughing because what you're saying is what I'm trying to teach people. I'm like, it's not brain surgery.
No.
You know, we work really with solopreneurs.
Mm.
Okay. People that work from home, they might have VAs or independent contractors, but they're not complicated.
No.
And they might have 20 to 50 transactions a month. And they're all the same.
Mm. Yeah. Same thing over the Groundhog Day.
That's why I realized, I said, we can do this bookkeeping for $47 a month.
Yeah,
that's what we charge.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. And, I mean, that's the biggest problem. Is I think the perception is that bookkeeping can cost a lot of money. It can if you get the wrong people, right? I mean, I've got one client that paid something like $20,000 a year to do this accounting work. I'm thinking that's nuts, right? You don't need to spend a lot of money, but you need to get it done right, and you need to get it done reliably, you know, all the time.
And I'm going to ask you and your listeners, you know, what I believe is that small business owners need to know what is it going to cost me to have all it, because they don't know. They don't know what I do.
Yeah.
They don't know the details, the work, but, you know, there's a lot of checks and balances, right?
Mm.
It took me a long time to figure this out. And What I realized, I said, they just want to know what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
They want,
because it's a cost. Accounting is a
basic
cost, right? Not an investment in their mind. To me, it's an investment, but most of the time, it's a cost to do something they have to do because the government wants them to do it, because they've got to do your tax return. But you know something really funny about that whole pandemic thing? What I realized was, and it's obviously global, right? Governments don't understand small business. They don't understand the fact that the government actually paid to a small business to pay their wages came a month later after all the small business office associations went to the government and said, hey, do you understand what's going to happen if you send everybody to the Dole office, to the unemployment office? You know what's going to happen? And they go, oh, shit, right? We better not do that. And so they brought something out, right? They didn't think of it initially. It wasn't something they just sort of thought off the bat.
So glad, because you're in Australia, right?
Mm.
You could be in the USA talking about the same thing. It's the same. We have this thing called the PPP loan, and we're still getting it. I'm like, oh my God, they're giving us free money. I got a whole webinar based on grants and getting money from the government.
Yeah.
But you can't get it unless you have your books in order.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, the best part about it is you lie and then the accountant does returns and then you get found out and then you got to pay it back. Right.
No. Okay. Let's talk about that, because that comes down to integrity and business practices in the US. Okay. Because I know last year when this started, I talked about people getting easy money and not knowing what the government is going to ask them for.
Yes.
Because the government didn't even
when they realized their mistake. They're giving it to the first place.
I heard of people through my clients that they said, oh, we got the PPP loan and we bought a house.
Oh, no.
That's not legal.
Well, the government now didn't control what you did with the money, but they certainly wanted to know that you were entitled to it.
Well, now they're asking for documentation.
Yep.
They're asking for, okay, so you got the money, what did you spend it on? And some people will get in trouble. Some people might have made mistakes because they just didn't know.
And you know, it's been a bad time. Like, people aren't thinking clearly too. Like, you know, in this situation, because they're worried about stuff, they're not necessarily thinking necessarily logically about it. So they end up doing things. And you know, in Australia, it's interesting, right? JobKeeper was given to all companies under a certain amount, I think billions of dollars, right? So some companies got like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of JobKeeper. Some companies did all right through the pandemic. They actually paid it back. They actually gave the money back to the government, which was a very interesting. Not asked.
Really?
They weren't asked for it. They just gave it back and said, we had a good run. We thought we needed it, but we didn't. So they sent back $2 million and said, here you go. We don't want it. And that's amazing.
That says a lot. That says a lot for your country, your people. Mm.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing that they pulled together. And I think that's, to me, in any sort of community or any country, this pandemic proves one thing, is how conducive are your community together to work together to get through a problem. Because that the only reason you got a community is for that reason. It's not to fight each other or do stuff. It's actually do stuff together and get something good out of it. And I think that it shows in certain countries how, and particularly some of the third world countries, where they really don't have that community aspect in terms of the government side of things. So the government's basically doesn't have a clue what they're doing, or they just basically don't have the money. And so they just let their population, like I've got staff that work in Philippines, and I said, did the government do anything for you? Nothing. They just locked them down and said, don't come out of the house. That was that. That was their solution to the problem. Don't come out of the house.
You know, we have VAs. Half of my team is from the Philippines.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're right. They did hardly anything compared to what I got and my family.
Yeah, yeah. It's a,
and anyone else that just tried in the U.S.
Mm. Mm. And okay, I think that's so the difference.
I have to tell you that I'm a little embarrassed by the U.S. handling of the whole thing.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, you should have been on it earlier. You should have handled it better. But it highlights a lot of problems. In some respects, it's a learning curve. And I think America, I think, has learned, from what I can see, has learned a lot out of this. It's like every other country has too. Australia has too. And I don't know what it's like in America with vaccines, but in Australia, they've done a very bad job of rolling the vaccine out. And because we don't really need it, we've got barely any cases. So it's not like you've got people, you know, dropping dead on the street because of it. So what's happened is it's low priority. Even though they're trying to roll it out, they're doing it badly. From what I can see in America, they've done a fairly good job of getting the vaccine out, because obviously it's their saving grace in this scenario. You've got to, you know, the way out of this for you guys is the vaccine. It's too late to kind of lock down and stop it. You have to control it, right?
I don't know what the answer is, but it really always comes down to the mindset, to be honest with you.
Mm.
So when you tell me that, you know, people in Australia are giving back the money to the government that they got.
Mm.
That impresses me.
Mm. Yeah, it impresses me.
I wish I could, you know, hear those stories in America.
Mm.
You know, and it's just, I'm just putting it out there. Mm. I was born and raised here. I'm blessed. I take advantage of all the benefits I can here. Mm. Because that's just the way it is.
It's the way you do it. So you know, let's switch gears a little bit here. So if you're a small business operator, what numbers should you be focused on? What sort of metrics should you be looking at doing? What sort of things that they should be watching every week, like a dashboard or something like that? What's your kind of take on what they should be watching? Because they can't watch everything, right? They can't look at everything.
Oh, no, you have to look at everything.
Mm, okay.
But you can't.
No, so I'm saying you'd like to, but you don't have time to dig into it.
Thank you for changing the subject. back to, so what I learned recently, let me explain something. I owned a job. I was a sole proprietor up until about 18 months ago. And what that means is I really owned a job.
Mm.
It was a profitable job. I didn't have to work that hard. I made money. I was happy, but I didn't have a scalable business.
Mm.
Okay.
Yep.
So 18 months ago, I started immersing myself in what you just asked me. What do people actually have to look at to run a business? And it is everything. And it comes down to what they call KPIs, key performance indicators. And I used to think that this only applied to big businesses.
Yes.
Okay, you know what KPIs are,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's explain what KPIs are. Key performance indicators. There's two kinds. There's leading and there's trailing,
mm-hmm.
right? So trailing is like my last 12 months of revenue.
Yeah, that's history.
And you put that in a spreadsheet and then you say, okay, what am I doing now? And you can see the results, mm-hmm. right? So you want to look at things like sales, but what results in sales? There are other things that happen before you have the sale, right?
Absolutely.
Like how many people do you have in your Facebook group? How many people are on your email list?
Yep.
Okay. It's not all about your P&L. You got to look at your P&L also.
Mm. That's good. Okay. I mean, you got to look at it's an asset.
Like we said before, the P&L is history, right?
Mm.
The key performance indicators can show you what to expect. And if there's a problem, if there's a blip in the cash flow, and it's not simple, there's a big learning curve, but anyone can get it.
And I think that's the thing. Like if you can delve it into, I don't know, five things that you get told every week or every month that you know what's going on, then you can run your business on that. The scary thing that I read recently was that most of these guys who run these big corporations, right, they have the same financial training as you do. So in some respects, less. They don't even understand balance sheets or running billion-dollar companies off the back of someone else knowing what they're doing. And they're just getting this tiny piece of information that says, this is, you know, the growth rate or something like that. And that's the basing the entire decisions off. They don't even understand the underlying financials of what they need.
And they're no smarter than any of us.
No. No, in some
right,
cases,
they just got it down to. Oh my God, are you kidding me? I just got to look at how many Facebook likes I have, and I could know what my revenue is. Yeah, that's how simple it can get.
Yes,
but what you need, you know, I love the fact that you're talking about the weekly interactions.
Mm.
It's habits. You know, Vince Lombardi. I don't know if you know Vince Lombardi.
He's about,
a famous.
Yes.
I listen to him, you know, even though he's passed away on YouTube, is amazing.
It's amazing legacy, right?
It comes down to habits. Mm. It's like, yeah. What do you do on a daily basis to put yourself in a position to succeed? And the weekly meetings, I don't care if it's with your mentor, your coach, your team, it should be all of that because nobody can run a business successfully on their own.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what gets watched gets improved too. So what I found is you can say you want these financial figures and then you don't get them and then you don't push for them. So they get off the hook. So if you don't get what you want and then you end up saying, okay, well, I'll let it go now. Well, it can't be that important. You didn't push for it. And just yesterday I was talking to my person that does the accounts and I said, where's the age analysis? I want to see what's going on with the customers because some cases what happens is we mostly paid in advance, but if someone's not being billed for something automatically and it didn't come through, we need to catch that up. And he hadn't done it for a little while. And I said, dude, this is the reason why we do this, right? This is why we reason to do it every week. And that was my mistake because I haven't been pushing it because I've been busy with a lot of other things and I got out of the habit of asking for that figure. And then, of course, he just got out of the habit of giving it to me. And so then suddenly there was a ramifications of that because we found a couple of customers a little bit behind. And so we rebuilt and we caught up. But that was a cash flow thing. That even though it was only small, a few hundred dollars, that has a big impact if it had zeros on the end of it.
I hear you. I love the way that you run your business. It's a moving target.
Yes.
That's what people have to understand. There's mistakes. Just being on Zoom, they change the buttons all the time.
Yeah, I know. It drives me nuts because I try to find out to do something.
And I'm like, okay, so I'm constantly, one of my coach, okay, the guy who runs a $100 million business, and he says, go through your credit card statements.
Yes.
And every month I find like $15, $10 that I signed up for something that I'm not using.
Yep.
And it adds up.
I got a little tip there for that. I got a bank. One of my bank credit cards is like one of these counts cards the bank issues you. That's basically it's got zero. Most credit cards let you go over 10 or 20%, right? They go, oh, you've gone over, but it's okay. We let you go. It's like bastards. So basically, what this does, it won't let me go 1 cent over my limit. So it's a small limit. So what I do is I keep it just below the limit, like $100, no more. And then I put all my subscriptions and all my reoccurring billing on that. So every time they try and bill me, I get an alert to say the billing didn't go through. And then I go, what was this for? And then I top it up.
And so I love that. I love that.
Right?
I have to have you on one of my workshops just to talk about that. Because
that's a great strategy. That's why I did it. Because you know what happens also? Your credit card gets frauded. That particular credit card was frauded 3 times in 18 months. So what it means is that when you have to change your subscriptions, you have to change it all again, right? And so it was driving me nuts. So by this way, they can't fraud it because they can't get over the limit. I don't know, but anyway.
So things like this are the things we want to teach people.
Yeah. Actually, there's a new company that I'm using called TransferWise, or it's called Wise now. You can have virtual credit.
Yes.
You can have virtual credit cards with virtual limits. So you can actually set up your own kind of card cards for different purposes and then set a limit as well, which means that they can't go over that limit.
Oh, wow. I got to check. I use that to pay some of my VAs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's got a whole virtual credit card thing where you can actually have 3 virtual credit cards per user. So you can actually issue them to staff members so they can spend like $50.
Really? Okay. Is this being recorded? I need to have we need the transcript. I'm going to give it to my VA and we're going to set this up.
Yeah, because things like that, I think what happens is being careful with your money. And I think something we talked about just before the show was hanging on to the money, right? Because I think what happens is I figured out that I've probably $30 million has slipped through my fingers over the last year. If it was $1 million a year, it's probably conservative. That slipped through my fingers and I never got to hang on to it. I think, and part of the problem is that you're always looking for the next, you know, the next growth rate, the next thing. So you reinvest the money back into that. But the reality is that you should have a side gig or some other way of, you know, keeping that money, right? Because otherwise what happens is the business will consume it. No matter how big or small your business is, it'll consume everything you've got.
I think, you know, I'm being transparent and I say, I love spending money. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah, for sure.
Forget that I'm a CPA. I'm like, I'm an entrepreneur first.
Yeah.
And when I looked at my financials, I'm like, oh my God. I need to be held accountable.
Mm.
I need to look at my numbers.
Yes.
I need to do the same thing that you do.
Mm.
And I haven't been doing it.
Mm. Mm.
And you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm like, this is what entrepreneurs do.
Yeah, you're not there to save money. Like I always say to business people, you can't grow a business by saving money. Yes, you can save cash flow and reserve it for something else, but reality is you have to grow, you have to get more money in ultimately.
I think the bottom line is, and the point I'm trying to make is, even me with all of my knowledge, CPA experience, I can dissect numbers, I can, you know, create computer programs. I need somebody else to look at my numbers.
Mm. And call you out on it, right?
From a scientific standpoint,
mm.
and say like, why did you spend $500 on QuickBooks training?
Mm. Yeah,
when we didn't need it.
Yeah, because the biggest thing with it is yours, right? They're easy to sell to.
I'm like, well, I thought it was helping my staff, my team, and I thought it was helping somebody that I respect that teaches it. And I'm like, but it wasn't needed. I could have just donated the $500 to her charity.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, I look back in the times that I spent money and go, why did you spend that money for? Like, what went through your head when you spent that money? Because it wasn't...
And it made sense, right? It made sense when you spent it, but we're not rational as entrepreneurs.
I think wait 24 hours. What I've always said is, before I do a purchase, just wait, do that hot, you know, what they call cool off period, right? Wait 24 hours, wake up the next morning and see if you still feel that same way about it.
Well, honestly, what I did was I said, I'm not spending any money. I'm going to put it through my CFO.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, you approve it.
Yep.
I said, this is what I need as a salary. Just pay me my salary and let's run the business.
Yep.
Don't let me just wildly spend money.
And that separation, right? That separation of paying.
It's accountability.
Yeah.
It's accountability. Everybody's got to be accountable.
Yeah, and I think that's a danger.
No matter what, business,
is that you can get away with it. You can lie to yourself. You can trick it into thinking, well, okay, well, you know, it's all right. You know, it's my money, right?
And I honestly think entrepreneurs lie to themselves.
Sure, absolutely.
They lie, especially, you know, brand new entrepreneur. You know, you're a road warrior. You've been around a while. You know what I see? I work with a lot of brand new entrepreneurs. And we have this, like, I'm indestructible. I can handle everything.
Yep. No.
You can't. It's impossible. I've tried it. I've tried it too many times. And I've seen it too many times. So my whole mission is to try to explain to people that you need help. All need help. And I have some kind of help. I can help with accounting and bookkeeping and financial stuff.
Yeah. And okay. I think that's, And the other thing too, you're not charging a lot of money for it. So you're saying that it's cost effective. And I think that's the trick with the whole scenario is if it becomes too expensive for bookkeeping, people don't do it. And I think what happens is they don't put systems in place to make it easy for you. Like the lazy way of doing bookkeeping to me was to suck the transaction straight into the accounting system, which means that someone has to do something with it. Whereas the old days, you had to rekey everything off the bank statement. That used to drive me crazy, right? But this now lets you suck it in automatically, right? The AI will learn it for you. So all you really got to do is look at the exceptions and look at, is that transaction right? Someone needs to know that. Like they need to look at it and go, does that look right to you? And fix that up, make sure those financials make sense. But at the end of the day, putting some sort of system in place for your money is the reason why you got into entrepreneurships in the first place, I think. Like you got there to make money and then you let it go, you let it out the back door without realizing.
Yeah. So one of the things that we encounter is brand new entrepreneurs commingle a lot of personal expenses with business expenses.
Yeah.
Right? And they start out in the United States, we call them sole proprietors.
Yep.
It's the simplest form of business.
Yep. It all lives in one.
Right. So we came up, just like you were saying, I'm like, oh my God, this technology is unbelievable now. Mm-hmm. It just, and there's always, you don't even have to link to the bank account. You could take a statement and turn it into a CSV file and upload it.
Yep.
Like, so that's what we mastered. I'm like, oh my God, we could do this. Forget about inputting. That's done.
The mugs game.
and then it becomes, okay, we have to categorize everything. We have a system. We're like, okay, we don't know what these are for, so we're going to ask our client.
Yep.
We send them an email. Actually, everything is secure. Okay, so we go through a secure server. And we say, okay, what are these transactions? And they tell us.
Yep.
It's simple. It's not brain surgery.
But
for us, it might be, it's complicated for somebody just starting a business.
Yeah. And I think
that's how we do it. And we start brand new businesses at $47 a month.
And that's amazing. I mean, I think the thing is that, and I would imagine then you're also setting the criteria up. So this is the way it should look from get-go, so that you don't end up with two sets of financials and the numbers look totally different because they didn't land in the same places, right? And so now you've got this inconsistent looking, you know, history of finances at the end of the day.
And if you try to establish business credit or you go for a grant,
yep,
they're going to look at you like, what is this? Who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. Are you serious?
And I mean, the crazy thing about in Australia was that when the government decided to guarantee 50% of overdrafts if you qualified. So the bank Wow. could lend you up to, say, $100,000 and the government would guarantee $50,000 of it. But when you went to the bank had no clue what to do with this, right? I don't even know who did this deal, right? So the bank goes, oh, but it has to be because for cash flow issues, you have to spend the money. It can't be new loans. It can't be paying any existing things. So I don't think anybody ever got these loans, right? I don't think they ever actually qualified, because when I asked the bank about it, it's like, we don't really know. When we know, we'll let you know. It's like when they let me know, they go, we don't really think anybody could get this loan because it's too hard.
But the reality was,
the banks don't understand small business either, right? So I think the thing is that they just thought, well, you need the money to get out of trouble, prove you're in trouble, and then we'll give you the money. So that's the way it works. Like in a pandemic, you'd be investing in your business, wouldn't you? You'd be saying, look, I want to take some money and I want to invest in something, some pivot, right, to save my business. I don't need money to for cash flow purposes for that reason. I need it for something. No, you can't do that. You can't loan it for that. You can't say that'd be the reason. It's like, what? So, you know,
it's just like the United. Listen, it's like we said, our government said, we got all this money, $1 trillion.
Hmm.
And then they're like, we don't know how to give it to you.
I saw a list of that. It's quite funny. It was like everything on the list had nothing to do with the pandemic. Everybody had got the money, had nothing to do.
It's total chaos.
And so I think the thing with small businesses, you've got to understand that the banks and the government's not there to help you, ultimately, right? They're the benefit from what you do. Don't expect them to tell you what to do and necessarily control what's important.
Is that how it is in Australia?
Because ultimately, yeah. They pretend. They pretend to understand you. They pretend to say they like you.
No, they don't support small businesses.
No. I've been through it.
They really don't care. It's not like I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
I don't know what it's like in the States, but if you were an employee of me, you could go to the bank and get a housing loan. If I go to the bank and ask for a housing loan, I can't have one because I'm self-employed. But I'm the same business. But they're willing to give the staff member because they don't understand. So I think the thing with small business is that one of the things that I learned, there was a product that I used a few years ago called ClickFunnels. And one of the things that was very interesting for them is they grew their business off the back of generating revenue at the front end. So their ads paid for themselves and they were able to actually make money before they became a real customer. And I think then they grew exponentially because they could actually get that metric right. So that you could actually make money when you did your advertising, where most people lose money and they have to try and get them to buy later. And I think that metric of saying, well, how much does it cost you per lead? How much does it cost you per sale? And then how much money you're making per interaction or, you know, that scenario is important metrics, because if you can get that right, you can actually have costless customers.
That's really interesting. I know about ClickFunnels. I didn't know that they came up with that strategy,
because they didn't have any investor money. They didn't actually take on an investors. They actually self-funded it from their own cash flow.
But I have one of my mentors, John Limbacher. He runs a company called Internet Dominators. Guy's off the charts, intelligent. And he stresses, like, if you know how much it costs you to get a customer.
Yep.
It's just math.
Yeah, you got.
If ClickFunnels said, "Oh, we can get paid before they become a customer,"
yeah.
Oh my God, that's how they became ClickFunnels.
Yeah, that's how they did it, because they would come and give a book away for free, and then upsell you into something else, and then you'd come over the $150 purchase because you bought the book and other things, and then you still weren't a ClickFunnels customer at that point, right? You'd bought something. you bought an information product that cost them nothing, but they're making money out of that process.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And that's why I tell people, you know, I do a thing. I said, yeah, there's three questions that you have to answer. What are you selling? Who are you selling it to? And what problem are you solving for them? Okay.
Yeah.
If you can't answer those three questions, you have a problem. So what's his name? Russell Brunson, I think.
Yeah.
So he said, hey, these people need a sales funnel. And I'm going to get them to pay for it before I even get them as a client.
And I think that's the way to do it, because if you can prove you can sell, Frank Kern has a good saying. He says, if you can prove in advance that you can help someone by helping them, then they will do business with you. And I think that's what basically what you're doing there. You're showing them you can help them and you're getting some money in return. So at the end of the day, they're more likely to spend money with you later because they've already given up their credit card already. So you've got that kind of relationship based off money from the get-go rather than everything's free. And then, you know, it's very hard to come off free. Once you come onto free and then get them to pay for something, it's a tough gig. Marketing.
Yeah, I agree.
The freebies are happy. So to summarize, if you were starting a small business today and you were talking to your younger self and you said, what should I focus on? What should I have done? What would you give your younger self advice?
Don't go into business.
Well, we say that to ourselves every day, right?
You know, the truth is I spent a lot of time trying to be the number two man.
Yeah.
Okay. I would hook up with clients that had small growing companies and I would say, okay, let them be the entrepreneur and I'll just be the financial guy.
Be the wingman.
Right. And we tried that about five or six times and it just didn't work for whatever reason. And then I said, okay, that formula isn't working. So I got to decide. You know, I'm 60 years old, or I'm going to be 60 years old. This was 2 years ago.
And you got a daughter that's had a baby as well. So your grandfather.
Congrats. Two granddaughters now. But yeah, so I said, do I want a business or do I just want to just still have a job?
Yeah.
And I said, I want a business.
Mm.
So what do I have to do? I needed to surround myself with people that were already successful.
Yep.
No, forget about everything I thought I knew about business. I had to say, I don't know anything.
Mm.
And let me focus on what I do for my clients and let everybody else guide me, because it's a team effort. It has to be. That's what I would have told myself when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, it takes you a long time to learn this stuff, right? It's the most obvious.
Well, my parents shut me down after one night, one successful night. I could have been a casino owner.
Yeah,
I didn't surround myself with the right people.
Yeah, and I think they always reckon that the sum of the people's earnings around you is the sum of, you know, your average earnings. So if you've got a lot of people that don't earn a lot of money, if you're stuck in that environment, that's where you end up being. Like, you'll end up with being the average of that group of five people.
It's true. I've heard that my whole life, and I didn't believe it.
Yeah, and when I look at, you know, masterminds, and because I noticed you've done some mastermind stuff, is masterminds and bringing people like minded together is the problem with most small businesses. Is they think they can do it on their own. They think that they don't need any help. And at the same time, they don't mastermind with other people that may even be in their own industry. Like, they're scared they're going to lose business or something from it, but the reality is it never works that way. But being sort of looking for information, pretending that you're not the smartest person in the room, even if you might be or might not be, it doesn't matter. But actually finding out that information from people tell you stuff. That's why you've got, well, they're the whole thing. You've got one mouth and two ears. That's why.
You know, being an entrepreneur is like an enigma. It's like you need an ego. You need to think that you can do anything. Right? Like, you're going to, I'm doing this no matter what.
Because it's war.
And then you also got to be humble and say, I don't know. I don't know anything.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
So that's the truth. That's what, you know, I had to come to. I was like, you know what? I could tell somebody what they need to do with their business.
Mm.
But I don't know what to do with my business. Mm. And then my people, my team, my coaches, my mastermind, they tell me stuff and I say, I just told that to a client. I just gave that that same advice to a client.
Mm. You didn't listen to yourself.
We don't listen to ourselves.
Eat your own dog food, right? It's like I always say to people, you've got to be able to eat your own dog food.
Oh, that's what one of my mentors says. Hey,
yeah, you can't do that.
I eat my own dog food.
Yeah. It brings up some interesting connotations, but at the end of the day, that's how it works. So really great to speak to you, Joe. So I'm going to wrap up in terms of the podcast, but how do people get in touch with you? What are you, because a lot of times the listeners, like $47 a month is a bargain. So obviously, you know, that's the sort of thing that we'd want our listeners to have a look at. So where should they go for that sort of information?
So we have a website now, joedicharacpa.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we'll put that link up.
D-I-C-H-I-A-R-A. Or anybody can book a chat with me. I love talking about business to anybody. I don't know. I'm like a small business junkie.
Addiction, right?
But, you know, I'll give anybody, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes, you know, as long as it's interesting.
Yep.
And all they got to do is go to timewithjoe.com.
Okay. Nice. Cool. Excellent. Okay. Well, I hope that people take you up on the offer and have a chat, because it's been very interesting to talk to you today. And I think finances is an important thing. And I think it is something, and I think in a situation like we just went through a pandemic, I think it becomes even more clear what people are, you know, where they're sitting and where their money needs to be. So really appreciate your time and hope to have you again on the show sometime soon.
Yeah, and I would love to invite you to my mastermind group. You would be awesome if the time permits.
Yep.
I don't know what time it is for you, but it's mastermindwithjoedicharo.com. And because you have a whole different, you actually have the same perspective on this as we do, and you're on the other side of the world. So
it's amazing how people connect up, right? It's the same. And yeah. I think if someone has the same feelings and ability, then it must be true.
Right? It helps everyone. Yeah. I believe it helps everyone because they say, oh, it's not just me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not the only one going through
this. The only one with this disease, right?
Yeah.
Disease of endocrinology. Cool. Thank you, Joe. And
okay, this has been awesome.
Soon.